the risk factors for cholesterol. Who here has heard about cholesterol being kind of bad for you in some way, shape, or form? Anyone? I mean, I'm just curious. Has anyone heard that cholesterol is the reason for heart disease? And, okay. Well, what if I was to say that's not the truth?
You're right.
I got one right. Okay? One check. Right? This is just it's so important for everyone to understand, because we hear cholesterol and we think evil monster is the first thing on our minds, because we know that ever since we've been taught about heart disease, that we're supposed to drive cholesterol down, down, down as far as you possibly can, right? That's our goal as in the traditional medical model or conventional medical model, is to drive cholesterol down. But when you have to understand what cholesterol does for you, then things shift. Because you couldn't have estrogen without cholesterol, you couldn't have testosterone without cholesterol, you couldn't have progesterone without cholesterol, you couldn't make cortisol, the stress hormone, without cholesterol. You can't make aldosterone, which tells your body to save salt, without cholesterol. You can't. So you cholesterol is the building. You can't make vitamin D without cholesterol. Okay, cholesterol is like the building block for all of this stuff. Cholesterol is not the evil animal. Cholesterol actually acts like an antioxidant in your system. It is actually like the glue that makes all of your cell membranes stay together. Each one of your 700 or 500 or 50 to 75 trillion cells, I can't remember how many cells we have in our body now, it's evading me. But every one of those cell membranes, cholesterol is the integral component, is the framework that keeps it all together. So do we want to drive cholesterol down to zero? Absolutely not. So the problem is not cholesterol, it's oxidized cholesterol. And someone said earlier the magic word about heart disease.
Inflammation.
Okay. Now that comes from a lot of different... That's like a big loaded word, right? Because it can come from a lot of different places, and there's a lot of different reasons that cause the inflammation in your body. And so that's my first thing I want to get across, is don't look at cholesterol like the evil thing, right? It's a good thing. We just need to make sure we don't scorch it and turn it into something that's going to cause our body to want to fight against it and evoke this immune response. And the immune response that your body actually fights against this, the cholesterol is what makes the plaquing. Okay? So that is the big first big piece, is I want to blow the cholesterol as bad thing out of the water for you. Okay? So, and Anthony Culpo wrote a book called, I think it's The Great Cholesterol Con or The Great Cholesterol Myth. Is anyone familiar with Culpo? You familiar with Culpo's work?
Yeah.
And this is a freely available, very well-written article by him, the author, going through all of, if you ever thought that even LDL, you know, you hear LDL is bad cholesterol and HDL is good cholesterol?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not the case either. How do you think we can get cholesterol into our body to into our cells to get into the membranes? You have to have LDL to get it into the cells. So is that bad? That it's bringing cholesterol to our cells so it can make testosterone and estrogen and all this kind of stuff? No. Okay? It's oxidized LDL cholesterol. And I keep saying that word oxidized, right? And that means that it's on fire. It's been smoke. There's inflammation from the body has damaged this LDL, and that's the reason. The biggest overlying, arching reason for cardiovascular disease. Okay? So then we have to ask the question, okay, now where does inflammation come from? The number one thing we have to look at here is it always comes back down to fats, our fat balance. That's the first thing we always have to look at. And we've had this discussion about omega-6s and omega-3s and good fats and bad fats and all that kind of stuff before, right? Well, I won't say good and bad for fats either, because you need both of those as well, just like cholesterol. But the omega-6s, which come predominantly from grains and animals that eat grain, think corn-fed beef, okay, versus greens and anything that eats greens. So when it comes down to it, it's grain versus green. The green makes the anti-inflammatory stuff, And the grain makes the inflammatory stuff. That's about as simplistic as I can make it as far as the fat balance story goes. Okay? So when you look at conventional, you know, probably the biggest problem is the conventionally raised animal. Because we concentrate all the grain into this little, you know, this little bomb that you can, when you eat, it goes off in your body, essentially, because it's got so much arachidonic acid in it and all these inflammatory things. So we have to get rid of the grain, increase the grain. Okay, that is the number one reason for inflammation. It's too much grain, and things that eat grain, not enough grain. Simple? Everybody buy that? Anybody have a problem with that concept? All right? No? Good? All right. So that's number one, is fat balance. The second thing is, we have to make sure that, let me get my notes here. We have to look at what causes the inflammation. And besides just the omega-3 to omega-6 balance, you have to look at that word oxidation, which I said a second ago, means fire, means inflammation. We have to offset all of that oxidation that our body is doing all the time, because our immune system causes it. Mm-hmm. Every time we try to detoxify something, we have oxidation that happens. We have all of these. That's how our body makes energy, is through oxidation. But on the other side of that is antioxidation. Everybody's heard of antioxidants, right? So the way to not oxidize your body is to make sure you eat plenty of antioxidant foods. Okay, this is coming back down to real simplistic stuff, isn't it? So we get our fats in balance, and we make sure we eat lots of antioxidants. Those are the two major things that solves the cholesterol problem. Or solves the... See, there's on my mind. Solves the heart disease problem. Solves the atherosclerosis problem. Solves the... atherosclerosis in your brain leads to stroke. So it's not just about heart disease. It's about brain health. It's about brain disease. It's about stroke and things like this, things like that. So antioxidants, fat balance. Those are the two underlying things that reverse heart disease. Okay, and that's what Esselstyn's doing. He's loading your body up with antioxidants. Loading. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's basically all you're eating is antioxidants. Nonstop. Okay. And that's the main thing. That's why the plant-based diet is so powerful against, and can reverse not only heart disease, but can reverse cancer, can reverse all kinds of crazy degenerative diseases. Yes, sir.
Is that why the mini aspirin comes into play? Is that when the doctor tells you to take the aspirin in terms of trying to lower inflammation?
Yes, they absolutely are. In addition, they're trying to thin the blood, but that's what anti-inflammatories do, is they thin the blood, right? Mm-hmm. So, but you know, you can do the same thing through eating lots of green food, mm-hmm. and or using omega-3 supplementation of some kind, mm-hmm. which I still, as someone who practices clinical nutrition on a daily basis, I still prescribe fish oil. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm not all plant-based. Sometimes, you know, you can take one flax pill, or you can take 20 flax pills. Actually, it's about a 20-to-1 ratio. You can take 20 flax pills or one fish oil pill. It takes 20 flax to get the pharmacological anti-inflammatory effects of fish oil. It takes 20 times as much flax to get turned into fish. Okay? Because it's got to go down through the molecule's got to get longer as it goes down the chain. It has to go through all these steps. And as it goes down, you take more. You got to dump a bunch more in the top for it to come out. You got to 20 pounds up top to get 1 pound out the bottom. Basically, is the way you got to look at that. Mm-hmm. So whenever people say, I take my flax oil. I take my one flax oil capsule every day. I know I'm good. I'm like, oh man, okay. I got to go into this whole thing about, you know, it takes all these conversion steps and all that stuff. So be aware of that. I'm not saying that it's impossible to not supplement with fish oil, right? You can eat, you can throw tons and tons up at the top, tons of green food, tons of flax, tons of high omega-3 nuts like walnuts and Brazil nuts or chia seeds. All these things can go in the top, and you can make a bunch of the good stuff come out the bottom. But you just got to dump a lot more in the top, 20 times more. Okay, you get the concept though? But that's really the best way to do it, is dump a ton in the top so you don't have to do the supplementation at the bottom. Make sense? Okay, good.
Is there any negative of fish oil?
There can be if you have a lot of oxidative, if your body is under a lot of inflammation for different reasons.
And the quality
of fish oil that you take. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That makes a big difference. Make sure with all of the dioxin and mercury and all the heavy metals from the ocean, because the ocean is a very polluted, unfortunately, very polluted place, and you have to make sure that it goes through the proper techniques and things to make sure they get molecularly distilled off all of the mercury and heavy metals and stuff. So yes, that can be a problem. But also, whenever you put fish oil into your body, if you're in a high oxidative state in your body and you've got a lot of inflammation going on, fish oil is very susceptible to going rancid. That's why you can't leave fish oil, because the fish goes bad real quick and leave it on the counter, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's very susceptible to rancidity. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what a rancid fish smells like, right? But the fish oil can go rancid very quickly in your body if your body is under inflammation. Okay? Thank you. So you get that concept? So you got, if you're taking fish oil, you know, you can't just like have this French fry, McDonald's, high stress, alcohol, caffeine lifestyle, and then throw fish oil on top of it and think you're good. Why not? Because oxidized fish oil is worse than
nothing.
Well, oxidized fish oil is really a bad thing. It, oxidized oil in general sends off all kinds of alarm bells in your body, and you have more inflammation, and you're kind of defeating the purpose. So you want to make sure that you're eating a good, or at least also supplementing with some antioxidants if you're going to take fish oil. Make sure you're getting other. If you're not getting it in your diet, you have to at least be. To get benefits from fish oil, you have to also supplement with some antioxidants as well. Vitamin E is a very good protector of fish oil. Okay, yes?
What's the ratio of EHA to EPA?
EPA, it depends on what you're going for. It depends on your goal, your therapeutic goal, EPA to DHA. Fish oil is EPA/DHA. Okay? Mm-hmm. Usually the capsules will be like 300, 200. 300 EPA, 200 DHA. That's kind of a general what you're going to see, okay? Depending on what your therapeutic goal is, like I said, if you're going for brain health, you want a lot more DHA, because DHA is what makes up, it's the architecture and the structure of your brain, and your nervous system is made up of DHA predominantly. EPA is more there for anti-inflammatory measures. DHA is more for the structural building block of your nervous system. So again, depending on what you're going for, it depends. But 300, 200, I use one that's concentrated, use capsule, 300 and 200. Okay? So that's EPA and DHA, that's fish oil, or that's omega-3s and omega-6s, right? And then I was talking about antioxidants. What you just had tonight was your... I don't need to give you any instruction on how to get antioxidants, because you look at the color, you look at the... I'm giving away all my answers. You look at the table, and what do you see?
Color.
And not just color, but very bright color, this amazing color. Color is your trick. Color is the key. Okay? Besides the stuff that's in like onions and garlic, there's also bioflavonoids and antioxidants in that stuff too. But the main thing, we're looking at green, we're looking at blue, we're looking at blueberries, we're looking at strawberries, we're looking at pomegranates. You open up a pomegranate, that color, that stuff's amazing. Pomegranate is powerful stuff. We need some more pomegranates around here in this meetup, come to think of it.
Yeah.
It happens around the holidays a lot more. But anyway...
I don't know how you do it. What do you do it?
Excuse me, what was that? Pomegranates?
How do you open it?
I pour it in a big tub of water. I make a big tub of warm water, a big bowl, and then I score, almost cut it all the way through, break it open underneath the water. If you've ever opened a pomegranate,
Red stuff everywhere.
It squirts and you can ruin clothes and all kinds of stuff. So I do, that's a really neat trick. You can do it underwater and you can dig it out all underwater and you don't get the mess. Yes?
Just cut around it and hold the two halves and twist them a little bit and it comes apart and you just eat the seeds out of it.
Yeah, well, you can do it that.
It doesn't squirt anymore.
Yeah, it's... Exactly. You can take your chances and try and pick it out with your fingers or a spoon. But anyway, color, antioxidants, color. Color puts out the fire, right? The fire is making energy. The fire is your immune system going to work. Real quick about the immune system. A big piece of the puzzle for people that don't even know that their immune system is being overactivated. A lot of times it's food sensitivities. Even foods that you might think is good for you. But you eat every day, and you do a food sensitivity test, and you find out you're allergic to broccoli and almonds, and that's a staple in your diet, your immune system is reacting against those foods, and that can be an underlying fire when you think you're doing good. You know, so I'm just saying that it's important to look at all the possibilities of inflammation, and food sensitivities and food allergies are a big piece of that puzzle. That's why it's good to eat different kinds of things. Rotate your food so you're not eating the same exact single thing every day, every day, every day, every day. So your body doesn't get sensitized to it. 4-day rotation diet is the general way. I use the ALCAT test in my office, and that's what I use to determine that. And then whenever the results come back, they put a 4-day rotation diet. They give you the food families and give you a suggested 4-day rotation diet. So that's one big way to do it. The other big thing that is lying at the root of this cardiovascular disease issue is the insulin problem. Insulin is one of the things that I'm most surprised at that, you know, when I get blood tests back from cardiologists and practitioners, especially it bothers me whenever I get a blood test back from a cardiologist, it bugs me because my dad goes to see a cardiologist and I say, let me see your labs. And it's like, he did a lipid panel. That's it. All he did was check his cholesterol. And he said, your LDL is too high, so we got to put you on Lipitor. Yeah. That's the answer, really? I mean, are you not looking at the literature? So I get a little bit irritated and aggravated by that sometimes. But, you know, you need to look at insulin. How high is your insulin? Insulin is quick insulin tutorial. You eat sweets. Your body senses that they're sweet. And it says, okay, pancreas, fire up the insulin. We got a lot of sweets on board. We got to get the sugar into our cells so we can use it for energy. That's what insulin does. But if we eat more sweets than we should, or more grain than we should, remember grain turns into sugar whenever you put it into your body. So grain is not much different than eating a bowl of rice chex isn't much different than eating a Snickers bar as far as the amount of sugar that's going into your system. Your body still has to say, okay, it all still gets turned into glucose, and your body says, okay, glucose is here, insulin go up. So we eat that over and over again. Pretty soon the pancreas starts kicking out more and more and more and more insulin, and then your cells start saying, you know what, insulin, I'm sick of you yelling at me, I'm going to tune you out. It's called the law of familiarity. Right? You've done that to people, right? Okay? You get the law of familiarity. So the cells quit listening to insulin's message. So the pancreas says, I need to get the sugar into the cell. So I said, get the sugar into the cell. So the pancreas puts more and more insulin out to get the job done. And then pretty soon, your insulin starts going up and up and up. And then, and then it starts going up and up and up. And when insulin goes up and up and up, there's a lot of stuff happens downstream whenever insulin goes up. We don't have the time to go into all of the stuff that insulin does, but it is a major, major contributor of inflammation, a major contributor of blood clotting, makes your blood more stickier, and it clots more quickly. It's everything you don't want for cardiovascular disease. So sugar, the sugar thing, is a big thing. Insulin also makes your good fat, potentially good fat, get turned into the bad fat, the arachidonic acid. So it's a trigger to make more and more arachidonic acid in your body, and that's the inflammatory fatty acid that comes from the omega-6s that I talked about earlier. So it does a lot of bad stuff. So insulin is a big one, all right? And I'm going to talk about a couple more things, and then we'll bug out. So insulin's the fix for insulin is sugar, or to get your sugar stuff under control, right? Easier said than done, I know, right? Everybody's got their sugar thing or their sweet thing, right? But that's the big piece of the puzzle. Now, I've seen cholesterol drop, I've seen at least 60 points over, I know I have one I'm thinking of, we went like completely like a sugar buster's diet. No sugar, no nothing, it was all like almost Atkins, but just basically no sugar, right? Over a 1 month period of time, cholesterol dropped 60 points.
So where do you get your calories?
Where do you get your calories? Well, you get your calories from, you still get carbohydrate, protein, fat, right? You still get those three things. I'm just saying, no refined sugar, no like cake, cookies, pie, that kind of stuff, Snickers, things like that. Just cutting out all of the refined or the really high glycemic carbohydrates. Okay, so you get so instead of getting your carbohydrates from really sweet stuff, you get your carbohydrates from broccoli and kale and lettuce, and that's still carbohydrate. Okay, so you still get carbohydrates, protein, and fat, but you just are cutting out the insulin, the sweet spikes. Okay, and everybody handles that differently. Some people can't handle it at all. Very carbohydrate intolerant, right? Some people can handle more carbohydrates and do just fine with them. So, we have our individual makeups that go into that as well. But my point is, when you're eating sugar, your insulin goes up, it will automatically drop cholesterol down. Now here I am talking about cholesterol, like that's a good thing to drop it down, okay? And I'm not saying that we want to get high, we don't want like 3 to 500 cholesterol. You know, there's a balance of things. Cholesterol is basically your body's response to any kind of stress. Is because your body, when it's under stress, your body has to make cholesterol so it can make the stress hormone. Because the stress hormone is made from cholesterol. So if you're under stress, your body's going to make more cholesterol because it knows it's got to make more bullets for the war. And it can't make bullets for the war without the raw materials. Okay? So stress can drive it up just like that. My favorite story about
that,
yes.
Mental stress, or do you mean stress?
I'm thinking stress. I'm worried about going to my in-laws for Christmas. I'm really not. I'm just worried, period. I have a stress response. You can have a stress response and your cholesterol goes up dramatically. Yeah. And if your cholesterol goes up dramatically and you have an inflammatory lifestyle, you got a bad thing happening. Okay?
So when you have your cholesterol checked and you're bothered about going into the doctor having blood drawn, can't that jack up?
You better believe it. Yeah. What happens if the nurse or the phlebotomist happens to miss the vein the first couple of times? You think that would happen to change the amount of cholesterol that's made on the spot? It happens very quickly. My favorite story about that is Jeffrey Bland, who's basically the CEO of the main guy at the Gig Harbor, Washington Functional Medicine Clinic up there. They do all kinds of functional medicine tests, and he's a PhD nutrition biochemist type guy. And he was on staff the day they were doing a woman who came in and got her routine blood work, went outside and had a car accident in the parking lot. Right? Comes back in all frazzled. So Dr. Bland thinks, let's draw her cholesterol again and see how, just from a scientific perspective, 100 points from the parking lot to the accident to back into the clinic.
Her cholesterol went up.
100 points. That's a story he tells at his seminars. I don't have any reason not to believe him. I mean, there's other people there. Stress. So it may not be that dramatic, but what if it's 20 points is enough for the doctor to say, uh-oh. Looks like we need a statin in your future. Right? We need Lipitor, we need Crestor, we need Zocor, we need Vitorin, we need something or other. And in my opinion, there's never a place for the statin.
Thank you.
Ever. That's just my own personal opinion.
Well, how am I going to put my kids through college? I'm still paying tuition.
You're paying tuition.
Get a second job.
Acid blockers and statins are what are keeping
Lots of big.
Me in business.
And all of their side effects.
And well, that's what I'm saying. Look at all the nursing homes. Nursing homes are being built faster than anything else in the country. And they're filling them up with people on acid blockers and statins.
Yep. Wow. Big time stuff. So, just a real quick, if you don't know about the statin controversy, or the big thing, the main thing with statins, among many other things, but the main thing is how it works is it basically inhibits the enzyme that allows your liver to make cholesterol. So it inhibits your body's ability to make it. Okay? But that same enzyme is also responsible for producing one of the main antioxidants and spark plugs for every cellular energy event that ever happens in your body, called coenzyme Q10, CoQ10. Okay, that's why you have a lot of people with muscle pain. It's mainly aches. You get aches and pains, and or basically atrophy eats up. Rhabdomyolysis eats your muscle up. Essentially, is what happens. Okay. And if you are taking a statin, you're not supplementing with CoQ10 right behind it, you're going to be in a world of trouble. And why not just get off of it anyway? Because it's proven that lowering the LDL is not the reason that it works anyway. They found out that it has, lo and behold, anti-inflammatory effects. And they're finding out that, wow, that's the real reason that statins help people on heart disease, if it helps them at all. And the only segment of the population that's ever been proven to help is middle-aged men, 40 to 60 years old. Who have already had a heart attack, thank you. That's the only place in the literature. So it's not proven to help women at all. Okay, not proven to help your 16-year-old obese son who's diagnosed with diabetes. That's the worst possible place you can... Oh my gosh, okay. So... Wow. So there's other ways to... We know how to do anti-inflammation, don't we? We just did it. Tonight.
Right.
We just did it. This is it, guys. You did it. Fruits and vegetables. Color. Yes.
What is this this K-R-I-L-L?
Krill.
It's still a...
Yep. It's another form of EPA and DHA. It has the same thing as fish oil. A few other... and it's purported to have more antioxidants along with it. I'm not sure. I'm not a krill expert.
That's the same thing.
What is it?
Astaxanthin.
Astaxanthin is the other big thing. What does that do?
Antioxidant.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Is it better to use than omega-3 fish oil?
Is it better to use?
Same.
Potentially, possibly, is it worth the cost, the difference? I don't know.
But I just heard you about the Oz today and the thoughts yesterday.
Yes, it's very beneficial. Okay. I've not used it. I just have good results when I use the fish oil by itself, so I've never gone that into that. New discoveries, yeah. It's getting more and more out to the public, yeah. But yeah, but it works on the same for the same reason. It balances out your fats. Okay? The other couple of things I want to mention is that you probably don't hear a lot about, and one of them is iron. If you are a man or a postmenopausal woman, you have a higher risk, because as a postmenopausal woman, you're not losing your iron every month, right? And men, we build it up through our lifestyle. And some people have genetic problems that makes it build up even more. So it's important to get your iron checked. When I say iron, usually checking your ferritin levels, which is kind of the protein that tells you the storage of iron in your body. And what iron does is it creates more oxidation and inflammation in your system. If it's too high. Above 80 or 100 is starting to get to the point where you need to start giving blood on a regular basis until it gets back down to, between 30 to 80 is a good number, right? Or if you're not into giving blood, you can also use IP6 or rice bran extract. You take a big dose of it once a day, and it kind of binds to it and pulls it out of your body. It's another way to do
it. IP6 is a, you can get it in a supplement.
IP6 is a it's rice bran extract is what it is. Okay, but that but the easier thing to do is not have to worry about taking all the pills. Just go give blood and you've got it. Don't have to worry about that quite
too. Dr. Ives had something about IP6 the other day. Is it anti-cancer? Prevents.
It is the other big claim is it's claim to fame is that I think stimulates immune cell function. Is that right? Do you know anything about IP6?
I don't remember what
the mechanism I can't is. Remember. I don't know the anti-cancer mechanisms,
right.
And it may be because it pulls out heavy metals,
okay.
And it reduces inflammation, but I'm not sure about the cancer effects of IP6.
Okay.
Rice bran extract. So that's iron. That's a simple one. Check it. Get it down at the top. The other one is homocysteine, and this is, I'll end with this one. Has anybody heard of homocysteine? Okay. Good. Homocysteine is a toxic amino acid that builds up in your system if you don't have enough folic acid, B12, and B6, and magnesium. Okay? So some of the big B vitamins, but the big player there is folic acid. Making sure your folate levels are good. You want to measure your homocysteine at some point. This is what I'm saying. Cardiology, I should see homocysteine. I should see insulin. I should see a lot of other... I should see ferritin, but I'm not seeing it.
Don't see homocysteine because Medicare doesn't pay for it.
Medicare doesn't pay for homocysteine anymore, and that's why you don't see it. Interesting. So, but homocysteine is just basically an indication that you're deficient in B vitamins. Pennies a day. You can save millions of people from dying and nobody knows about it. Okay? So measure your homocysteine. You want an 8 or below or for optimal.
Is that something you ask your doctor?
Yeah.
Can you go in
and say, can you check my homocysteine? And good luck. I don't know what how accommodating your doctor is, but if he knows what, you know, if he's up on literature and is concerned about your brain and your health and your ability to make serotonin and to prevent strokes and depression and all kinds of stuff, then he will or she will measure your
also.
Homocysteine, lack of mostly folic acid is the big player. B9. Folic acid is the big player there, but also B6 and B12 play in that loop as well. But B vitamins in general.
So when we take those multivitamins, we're not getting enough of what we need, are we?
Depending on the multivitamin, maybe not. Sometimes it takes high doses of folic acid to drive down the homocysteine. Sometimes you need 100 times the amount that will be in a multivitamin.
And you know what? Some of these doctors act like when you get a certain age, act like they don't care anything about you.
Because you've got Medicare, it's your
Medicare.
Excellent. Yes, we work on a doctor role, as I said.
Hold on just a second, guys. I'm sorry. On oral chelation? I think there's a lot of chelating agents that that are great. You can take cilantro. You can take vitamin C is an oral chelator. So my position on oral chelation is eat as many oral chelation things as you can. I've not used like the DMSA as an oral chelator. I've never or the suppositories. There's also DMSA chelators that way. If I'm doing chelation, I'm probably going to refer for intravenous and do it that way.
Okay, but it's going to draw the heavy metals out, but do you think it has any benefits to cardiovascular issues?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the more heavy metal you can get out of your body, the more your immune system can relax. And we want the immune system to relax because the immune system is making all the inflammation. Okay, so anything we can do to put the fire down to this manageable level where we can do controlled burns for the benefit of the body rather than the forest fire that gets out of control that causes all the disease. Okay? Good. All right. That was just...
That was 6 minutes?
Six minutes,
yeah.
But there's a lot of other. This can go on. Of course, I'm just scratching the surface about all the things that you can do. But look back through the basics here. Heart disease is an inflammatory disease. It's an immune system disease. We need to calm our immune system down. Eat more antioxidants, and get our fats under control. So more green, less grain. and more color. And that's your prescription. And I'll write it out for you.
About 6 months ago, I had to have an artificial valve put in my heart.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, I'm on blood thinners. And they're always telling me about eating too much gravy.
Yeah.
You want to do this
one? Okay. The excellent doctor would do.
Now, I'm a fellow member of the raw food group here. I'm not your physician. Go ahead and eat your greens, eat your raw foods, and everything else. Don't tell your doctor anything about it. He'll draw the blood test and adjust your blood thinner to accommodate for it.
But you have to eat them consistently. You can't do up, down, up, down.
Just what she said. You got to be consistent.
Yeah. So you, when you go in, you're going in with your baseline.
The thing is, that blood thinner that you're taking probably kicks the crap out of vitamin K. Vitamin K is an incredibly important nutrient for a whole lot of things. Bone building, not the least of it. You're getting that vitamin K from your raw foods. So it'll counteract a lot of the side effects and illness-producing effects of being on blood thinners for a long time.
So you need to get some vitamin K, but be consistent with the vitamin K.
Right.
Eat it all the time.
That's right.
My dad had this happen. He'd go to the doctor doing Coumadin. He'd go to the doctor and he'd adjust to Coumadin. He'd come back, and he had to come back every week to test for the INR. I go, what is going on? He's coming back every week. Well, it's because of his diet. I said, well, why don't you give us a list so that we know what he should and shouldn't eat so it's not like this every time. He says, well, most people won't be compliant. What?
So,
non-compliance is the reason he wouldn't give us a list of foods.
Well, you know, and honestly, they assume that he won't because that's what they're seeing every day is that nobody does the work. So why should I assume you'll be the first one?
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's more complicated than that. But it all boils down to Medicare doesn't pay him enough to educate your father on.
There it is.
Medicare pays him for 8 minutes of time. And you want another 8 minutes, you got to come back another day.
That's why you can't, and that's the thing. Every week, it's like, I can't shake off work to come pick you up and hold you down just to get a finger stick every week.
Yeah. Right. So it goes beyond just the patient. Right.
That's why we're all here, too. We are taking responsibility for our health and educating ourselves.
Sure.
And
our friends.
So, and our friends. That's right. And our friends' friends.
No.
Just
what kind of practice do you have?
Excellent.
So let's maybe how about we are you guys okay with that? You feel like you've been educated beyond cholesterol?
Yes.
Cholesterol is not the ugly animal. Let's always remember that.
It's essential for life.
It's essential for life. It's a foundational thing,
okay,
right? If your cholesterol is going out of control and very high, you need to manage your stress. And that's usually diet stress. But it can also be the mental, emotional stress. And it also can be pain. Chronic pain will drive up things like that too. So it's a stress reduction thing at its core. But the most powerful thing is probably using diet because that's the most direct effect. Okay. All right. So we thank you.